Well, I'm glad to have another chance to open up God's Word with you this morning and to think through the promises of God. We've been talking about this whole session that the heart of Christianity is really God's faithful, His role as a faithful promiser who gives us these precious promises of grace. And this week we've seen some beautiful promises from Scripture. We saw from Isaiah 43 and Hebrews 13 that God promises us His gracious presence. That even though we stomped away mad and said, God, we don't want You in our life, we don't want You to rule us, we don't want to be in relationship with You. He didn't leave us alone, but He kept being involved in our life. And He pursues us through Jesus and His finished work so He can be with us. They will never be alone. He promises us His gracious presence. And yesterday we saw from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God's promise of all-sufficient grace. That the gospel is not for strong, capable, powerful people who have it all together, who can present to God this resume of doing right things and having it all together. But he looks at our weakness and our helplessness and our neediness, and He doesn't despise it, doesn't make fun of it, He isn't annoyed by it. But He says, my power is made perfect when you are weak and needy and helpless. He doesn't stoop to our weakness and give us a little pep talk. He doesn't give us a red cape and say, act like a superhero. You're capable. He says, no, I give you my grace. And so that means that we can come needy, we can come empty-handed, we can come having a mess in our lives. And I dared you, yesterday, I challenged you to go and ask for help from somebody, to kind of work into a conversation that you're a mess, but Jesus is all together for you. Now, I worked that into my conversation, and I definitely had to go and ask for help for something. I'm wondering if you did that. Well, today we have a new promise from the Scripture, a new precious promise of grace. And this time it comes from the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, this group of young Christians who are trying to figure out what it means to be the church. And he writes something very beautiful to them, another promise of the Lord's grace. So chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir through God. The lyrics go like this. There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven, and she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus, and I close my eyes, and I thank God for all the joy in my life. Oh, but most of all, for those butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk beside the pony, daddy. It's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, daddy, but I sure tried. And all that I've done wrong, I know that I must have done something right to deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night. There goes Bob Carlyle's amazing song, Butterfly Kisses. Hopefully not to offend you, but one of the most sentimental, sappy, cheesy, full of Velveeta songs you'll ever come across that explores this intimate relationship between a father and his daughter from her birth all the way to her wedding day, full of just heart-string-pulling images, chock full of Velveeta, yes. I've always been fascinated with that song, not because it holds a special place in my heart, but because of an interview I read with Bob Carlyle, the man who wrote the song. He said this. He said, I get a lot of mail from young girls who try to get me to marry their moms. That used to be a real chuckle because it's so cute. But then I realized they don't want a romance for mom. They want the father who is in that song, and it just kills me. Why did it kill him? It killed him because some girl, took a pen and put it to paper and wrote a heartfelt message to the writer of this song who she's never met, never seen, thousands of miles away perhaps, and says, will you come and be a father to me? And it killed him, right? A total stranger, 1,000 miles away, asking desperately for someone to come into her life and be a father for her. You see, we all have that longing. Because we're all made for that sort of relationship with God. We're supposed to have that relationship with Him, that intimacy, that hand-in-glove fit to our relationship with God. That He's made us to know Him as a Father. And one of the most helpful and one of the most relevant images from the Bible that is used to describe and to portray our relationship with God is that of a parent and a child, a loving Heavenly Father, a delighted Heavenly Father, an interested Heavenly Father, a powerful Heavenly Father, and we, His children. One man named J.I. Packer wrote this. He says, "If you want to find out how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much she makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as her Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls her worship and prayer and outlook on life, it means that she doesn't understand Christianity very well at all." So I'm curious this morning, what lens are you putting up to your relationship with God? Do you see yourself as a student who needs to learn all these ideas and concepts so you can get the Christian jargon down? Are you an employee who's going to an employer and saying, "I've served my time, give me my paycheck and reward. And if you don't give me my paycheck and reward, I'm going to be very upset and I might sabotage your work. I might even quit the job and walk away if you don't hold up your end of the bargain." Are you a slave coming to a master and saying, I'm trying to pay off my debts. I'm trying to pay off my debts. Don't treat me harshly. Please don't do hard things to me." Are you a pardoned criminal, a paroled criminal, saying, "I promise to be on good behavior. Judge, if you just let me off the hook here, I promise I'll do right." Are you a driver who's speeding and hoping that a cop, a sheriff, doesn't come along and catch you? Are you an orphan in foster care saying, "I'm going to audition and show myself to be adoptable so someone would take me in"? What is God's promise for us this day, this hour, this minute? His promise for us from Galatians 4 is adopting grace. He says that you are children of the living God because Jesus came under the law. In other words, He obeyed every last thing that we were supposed to obey. And He redeemed us. He bought us back from sin and the tyranny of sin and the slavery of sin so that you would not be a slave, not be an orphan, not be an employer, not be a paroled criminal, not be a student, but you could be children of the living God. That's God's promise for you today, adopting grace. You are at the heart of God's most intimate family because Jesus has brought you in. So you've got a choice today. I have a choice today. You can live afraid of God's anger. You can live like a slave, paying off debts, enduring anger, expecting mistreatment, scared of injustice from the master, being anxious and fearful. Or you can live as a person in foster care, trying to prove your worth, showing your distinctiveness, showing your adoptability, being superstitious and in some adherence to a Christian checklist so you can actually be worthy. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be bitter. You're going to be scared. You're going to be mad. You're going to live in audition mode for the rest of your life. Or today you can live assured of God's approval, that you are children of the living God, no longer a slave, no longer an orphan, but God, at the heart of God's most intimate family. And that means you have the right to all the privileges, all the freedoms, all the rights of the children of God's family. That you're protected and provided for. And you have pity upon you and compassion because God loves you. And you'll never, ever be cast off. You'll never be left out of the family. That you have an inheritance to the promise. That God puts His Spirit in you so that you can cry out, "Daddy! Daddy, Father," most intimately, celebration of God's relationship to you. And what's going to happen to you if you live like that? You'll be secure. You'll be honest. You'll have the freedom to fail and not be utterly destroyed. You'll have the freedom to fail and not be rejected. You'll have the freedom to enjoy life instead of trying to audition from life. One man said, "If the love of a father will not cause a daughter to delight in him, what else will?" God's promise for all of us this morning is this: adopting grace. You are no longer a slave, no longer an orphan, no longer outside the family of God. You are children of the living God, adopting grace because Jesus has won that for us. He is our older brother. God is our Father. Let me pray for us to that end this morning. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to believe your promises. Help us to live your promises. May they lift up our heads. May they give us joy. Will they motivate us to go into the hard places of our lives, assured that you are our Father and that you will never, ever let us go. We thank you for your adopting grace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.